We've been talking about what I like to call the empowered partnership, and this will be the, well, if I don't get carried away, this will be the last time we do this for a little while. If not, there are more Sundays, but if you want to talk about having a word hung on you, what the Lord Velcroed a word to you, I would say the word transformation is one of those words that has stuck on me for a very long time. And depending on which version of the Bible you read, your Bible may talk about transfiguration or transformation. Same thing, comes from the same word. And so this is being changed from the inside out, where he does something in our lives, like plant and grow the fruit of the Spirit, for example, so that angry people actually have patience. Wow, that's amazing. But so much so that people begin to understand that what's happened to you isn't just an act of self-discipline on your part, but it's an infusion of the life of God. We become continuously more like Jesus. That's called transformation, and that's the plan. And is it working? Not as good as we'd like, but he doesn't have plan B. His desire, I got to be careful because I'll start going places, but his desire is to so express the life that he gave Jesus and that Jesus gave us that we become the light of the world. He said that, I was the light of the world while I was here. Now it's your game. You are the light of the world. Wow. And so, he doesn't just say that to say, now you can put that on a t-shirt and wear it. No, he engraves it in us so that we actually become the light that he's promised. Matthew chapter 17, that's where we will start. Because how does transformation happen? How can I become, and I would put it this way, probably more transformed? Because it's not, it's an event. And it's a process. It's both. And you may have several events that further the process, but it's an event and it's a process. I have something I've written. I've actually shared it with you once before that we'll close with today that I think is a pretty good summation of what transformations is supposed to mean. This is Matthew chapter 17, verse 1. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John his brother and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transformed or transfigured before them. And his face shone like the sun and his garments became as white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with them. You'll notice they did not walk up the mountain. They just appeared. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. I'm sure he said something else too, but he said, it's good for us to be here. If you wish, I'll make three tabernacles here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. Well, first of all, Peter's a fisherman, so I don't know he's that skilled in tabernacle making, but he says, why don't we do this? And then we'll just stay here. And while he was still speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud said, this is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. Please listen to him. In other words, Peter, shut up. And when the disciples heard this, they fell down, face down to the ground and were terrified. And Jesus came to them and touched them and said, get up and don't be afraid. And lifting up their eyes, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. Well, that's one of the ways transformation comes, is when you're able to see and focus on him alone. But will you notice when they were afraid because they didn't understand, he came to them and touched them. Well, was that just a ping on the head or, you know, flick to the ear? What? I don't know. But the Bible says he came to them and he touched them. There is an encounter with the Lord that helps bring about transformation. So one of the ways that transformation takes place is by this encounter that you can have with the Holy Spirit. I want to read to you from the Weiss translation, just verse 2 of chapter 17 of Matthew. I love the way he says it here. And the manner of his outward expression was changed before them. That expression coming from and being representative of his inner being. And his face took on a different appearance so that it shone like the sun, and his outer garments became white like light. The reality that was always in him. The body, the flesh got zipped back, and they got to see who he was in the spirit. It was already that reality within him, but it had not yet fully expressed itself outwardly. And he was saying, guys, here's what's coming. Because he knew what was going to happen. They were going to go down from the mountain. And they were going to encounter a bevy of sick people and lame people and blind people and deaf people and demonically oppressed people and people who didn't believe and Pharisees who were going to try to kill them and all that. And he said, you got to know, this is what it's like. Now, he had always been like that, correct? He was now the man God and the God man, but they didn't know what they were dealing with. So much so, when the Father speaks, they just want to dig a hole in the ground and hide, rather than say, ah, they went, oh, you know? And Jesus said, no, it's all good. It's all good. God is good, right? I love the way it says that. This external expression of this internal reality, that's called the Christian life. He puts us in him. He puts him in us and then causes us to change on the inside to bring the expression of that reality and until it overcomes the reality of being. I was born of James H. and Helen V. Brown in December of 1950. Not 1850, 1950. Somebody asked me, which one's that? And it formed me. I took on the form that they gave me, and I lived that way. But in 1974, I wasn't just born, I was born again. And a different kind of life got in me. And the outcome of that is to eventually be far much more in tune with my born-again person than the one I was born. Right? Now, you never quit being the person you were born. And all the wives go, crud, I thought maybe. But from the instant you receive the Spirit of God, you start becoming that which you really are. Huh? And the expression of that is transformation. Another example, this is from the Old Testament. 1 Samuel chapter 10. This is about Saul. Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you mightily. This is Samuel prophesying to Saul, the king. And you shall prophesy with them and be changed into another man. Wow. Change. I've done premarital counseling. I've thought, dear, you need to be praying this for your man, that he be changed into another man. Because if you try to change him, you're in a lot of trouble. Gloom, despair, anyway. But he will be changed into another man, and it shall be when these signs come to you, do for yourself what the occasion requires, for God's with you. In other words, I'm putting in you what is necessary to make you adequate for what's going to happen. See, that's part of the grace of God, isn't it? We've talked about divine adequacy, which just makes up the difference. So do what's before you, because God is with you. And you shall go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down to you to offer burnt offerings and sacrifice peace offerings, and you shall wait 7 days until I come, and then I'll show you what to do. Then it happened, when he, Saul, turned back to leave Samuel, God changed his heart, and all those signs came about on that day. Not in that week or in that year, on that day. It's amazing. And when they came to the hill there, behold, a group of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came upon him mightily, so that he prophesied among them. And it came about when all who knew him previously, that is his natural birth, saw that he prophesied now with the prophets, that people said to one another, what has happened to Saul the son of Kish? Is Saul now also among the prophets? Something happened to the guy. And they knew what his name was, but he wasn't acting like the guy that they knew who the name was. He was like, instead of the living dead, he was the dead living. Yeah, it's like anti-zombie. But he had experienced God's death for him and his son, and now he's experienced his life for him. Now, this is Old Testament. He wasn't born again because Jesus hadn't been crucified. But do you understand what I'm saying? The Spirit of God came upon him and did all these things. In our case, the Spirit of the Lord comes in us and upon us and do these things. But it happened Old Testament and New. So one of the ways that transformation happens is an encounter with the Lord. Now, it's not the only encounter with the Lord you'll ever need to have, but it's an encounter that moves you down the line, takes you from mile marker 2 to mile marker 8 or whatever. But it's like this. Life is progressing. Spiritual maturity is starting to happen. And the cool part about it, I know this happened with me a little bit. It was so foreign to me that there was a God and that Jesus was real and all that kind of stuff. Some of that stuff happened in me and I didn't know it until somebody told me about it. You know, I mean, it freaked me out. That's a Latin word for if you're born in the 50s, 60s, you'll get it. If you don't, we'll have to explain it to you. But it was a very mind-expanding experience. I usually just said, far out. That's what I... Because people would say something to me. I didn't know what I had said was biblical. I didn't know. And I'd go home and tell Kathy, she said, well, that's in the book. And I go, really? How'd it get in here? Because I mean, only been saved a couple of months. But the Lord was doing something, and I desperately needed to know the reality of it. It's not like, boy, what a superstar I was or anything. It's that I needed to know, and if somebody else who already knew the Lord thought that was real in me, I would come home and tell her. I said, babe, this stuff's coming out of my mouth. I must really believe this. Because I'd never believed it before, and I had no way of measuring it. So I had to see something of my life changing, because I'd already told the Lord that I wanted out, because I still liked doing the things I used to do, and he wasn't for that. That was clear. And I said, I'm really sorry I did this, because I'm going to disappoint everybody, because I can't live like this, because I can't pretend like I liked church. At that time, I most certainly didn't. But I love Jesus. I mean, I got saved, man. I have found the Lord. But all the other stuff, what am I going to do? And the shall not things, I never didn't shall not. I just did, you know. And so I was conflicted in that. And the fact that he could change what you love on the inside, I never counted on that. But he changes your want-tos if you want him to. Not instantly, not perfectly, not everything, but I started wanting things I didn't used to want. I love the church. I've tried to give my life to do something about that. And that would have been news to me. What I'm saying is that transformation activity causes you to begin to see and think differently. And see, there's this partnership that we've been talking about, but it's not just a partnership unto, well, let's spend Sundays together. No, it's a partnership unto something. And that unto is transformation. See, we talk about, well, I got to become a disciple. Yes, you do, but discipleship isn't the end goal. Transformation is the end goal. Hello? And if more disciples were transformed, we'd have more disciples. Do I need to slow down? Or okay. I love this definition of transformation. It says this. This is Meister Eckhart. Fire transforms all things it touches into its own nature. The wood does not change the fire into itself, but the fire changes the wood into itself. In the same way, we are transformed into God. Isn't that cool? We're talking about send the fire today. Start this fire in me. Kindle this fire in me. Why? Because I want to be, our God is a consuming fire. Let's be like him. See, he's a consuming fire, not a wildfire. That's right. Yeah. Amen. Right? You know, You don't need a convection oven to cook a hot dog. It doesn't take that much, right? Right? But burning bushes that don't burn is a pretty good trick, right? And a fire that cleanses and cleans and improves rather than destroys is a pretty good trick. Purifying. So, how do we cooperate in this partnership unto transformation? Well, one of the ways is just an encounter with God. And you don't need the scaffold for the encounter because he comes down to you. But there are times when he draws you, right? And there's an ascension part to it on your part. There's a step in, a step towards, a step up, whatever you want to call it. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, we probably all know this verse. I've put it in your outline if you have one, from the Weiss translation. And so I'll read it as I get excited about it, and then I have to speed up. It's an expanded translation. You really can't speed up. It's got more words. You just can't do it. I therefore beg of you, this is Romans 12, 1, please, brethren, through the instrumentality of the mercies of God, by a once and for all presentation, to place your bodies at the disposal of God. To place your bodies. Bodies. Listen, I got a mirror. My body's not the best part about me. No applause. But that's what he asks for. Do you see what I'm saying? I said, Lord, why would you want this? But that's what he says. At the presentation, by a once and for all presentation of your bodies to the disposal of God, a sacrifice, a living one, a holy one, well-pleasing, our rational, sacred service. Rational in that this service is performed by an exercise of the mind. I get to choose. This is a volitional activity. So I'm begging you guys, give yourselves to the Lord 100%, spirit, soul, and body. That's what he's saying. But you have to choose to do that. It's not like, okay, today's my day and now I'll be forced to give myself to him. You're never forced to give yourself to him. Never. It's an act of worship. It's an act of devotion. And if I can tell you, it's an act of obedience to present your body. Well, I don't know what he want with this thing because it's going south, you know. But that's what he says. Present yourself. And it's an exercise of your mind. You get to choose. And stop. I'm going to go as slow as I can on this, but this is said so well. Stop assuming an outward expression that does not come from within you and is not representative of what you are in your inner being, but is patterned after this age. Isn't that a wonderful way of saying that? Give yourself to me in such a way that your expectation is the life that I have placed in you will now define you, identify you, and be the expression of you. Wow. But change your outward expression to one that comes from within and is representative of your inner being by the renewing of your mind. Renewing your mind. That's how this is part of the process. It's that thing where the Spirit of God takes the Word of God and quickens your understanding so you see things differently and you begin to choose and value things differently. And the way that you think, not just thoughts that you have, but a paradigm, a way of thinking becomes yours that you didn't previously have. Now, at first, it's kind of like, I remember listening to this guy preach. And he said, how many of you want to get promoted? This was the week I got saved. So, I think, well, sure, you know. I'd rather be an eagle than a turkey. Yes. Oh. He said, then humble yourself. And I thought, you're out of your mind. He said, well, the way up is down. And I thought, dude, what have you been smoking? I mean, I thought, what are you talking about? How many of you want to have more? Well, I didn't raise my hand because I wasn't, but yeah, sure. And he said, well, then give more. I'm going, you need help. You know, I really did. There wasn't one corpuscle in my brain that was trained to think like that. And now I think that way all the time. So sometimes I just have a flash thought. You get a new thought. How many of you know a new thought is really cool? But it's a new thought on the way to having a new way of thinking. Oh my, oh my. Because if I have a new thought, so I can treat these two guys better. That's a really good thing. But if I have a new way of thinking and I treat everybody better, yeah, come on, right? And so the renewing of your mind sometimes comes like a lightning bolt just and intervenes and go, oh, I never would have thought of that. Never would have. I know I was doing something with somebody one day and we had a plan. I would do so many things. He'd do so many things. And I did mine. And he said, I thought you were going to do this and this. And I said, I did. Prove it. And I said, well, I did this and this and this. He said, I would have never, ever thought of doing it that way. And I said, you didn't have to. I did. But it was a different way of seeing things because of a reality of a new life. And see, the new life's in everyone. If you're a Christian, that's what he says, unless the Son dwells in you. So if you're a Christian, maybe you haven't had experiences like this yet. You will. But what I'm trying to say is there is a reality in us that is the Spirit of the living God. And we're being instructed from Romans chapter 12 to say, you need to be drinking from that well. You need to be drawing from that fountain to the point when my wife's parents were still alive, they raised cattle and pigs and a whole bunch of stuff. But they would keep an animal that didn't get fed all the crud and didn't get all the shots and that kind of stuff and was just corn fed. And that's the one they would kill to eat. And it tasted different because of the source of energy and nutrition that the animal had. We're no different. People will like our taste a lot better if we have the source of nutrition and energy and fuel in us that is from the Spirit of God. And that will become that way to the point where you won't think that really is a good steak anymore unless it tastes like that. Huh? So it's real. It's not a religious hamburger helper. It's real. I'll slow down here, but the idea is, he said, don't entertain a lifestyle or style of living that is all energized by the things that you got when you got physically born. Your life needs to be seasoned and reasoned by what you got when you got born again. How am I doing? See, this is transformation. This is also very slow. I better speed up. I'm going to go back to it. Change your outward expression to one that comes from within and is representative of your inner being by the renewing of your mind, resulting in your putting to the test what is the will of God, the good, the well-pleasing, and complete will, and having found that it meets your specifications, put your approval on it. So what he's saying, let the Lord, in this partnership agreement, help you get your mind renewed so you'll start placing value on his will. For example, I understand now humility is the chief virtue in the Christian life. And humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, and he will promote you. He will exalt you. That's what the Bible says. Give, and it shall be given. Right? And the more you give, the more he blesses it, the more you get, so you got more to give. Giving to get is right. It's just giving to give that's right. Right? So he says, here, plant the seed. I mean, the idea is two, God is a giver and a foregiver. We got to be just like him. And so it makes sense now for me to say, well, yeah, you want to be a giver. Why? Because number one, he's a giver. And number two, he knows how to bless your giving. And the more he can bless you, the more you can be a blessing. Right? And so I didn't know those two things. So I brought them up. And now I think that totally like that. Why? Because something happened in here and it wasn't just a flip of a coin. I'll believe it or I won't believe it. No. The one who created the reality, the truth, gets in you and begins to allow you to experience the truth. And he says, he's saying here in Romans 12, Test the will of God. See if it's real. And when you find out it's real, put your stamp of approval on it by thinking like that and accepting that as the reality, not what you used to think. I've said this many times, and some of you responded to it, God bless you all. But some years ago, I was in Branson, and I saw this guy wearing this t-shirt that said, all my good ideas got me in trouble. And I thought, that is the story of my life. And that's probably 8 or 10 years ago. And I've told the story many times, and people now just heard it differently because I got 3 shirts like that between birthday and Christmas. 3 different colors. It's wonderful. I'd like to think it's a little less true than it used to be, but it's a very close to the heart reminder of don't just trust your wild ideas. Now, it doesn't mean he doesn't give you some wild ideas, but you find out if he's approving it. And if he has, you can. And if he doesn't, you shouldn't. That's Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself as a living sacrifice, holy unto God, and not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's how it says it. I love the way Weiss says it. He's a professor of Greek, knows the language very well, and lines it out so you can do it. So keep that in your mind. So we can get transformed, or we can, our the process can be expedited or added to by having encounters with the Holy Spirit, but also by just selling out. Galatians 6, 14. May it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. That's heavy language. The world's been crucified to me. The world looks at me and doesn't find anything in me it really wants. And thank God, I look at the world and I don't really find anything I truly want. That's what he's saying. I've been crucified to the world. This is Paul. He was a Pharisee. He was a big dude. He was an up-and-comer, you know, upwardly mobile, well-to-do guy. And now he's a bum, especially in Jewish circles. Because, he's a bum. Doesn't exist anymore. Parents disowned. All that. And he said, and by the way, then I look at the world and what it has to offer, and I go, not so much. I'm as dead to it as is it to me. That is a different way of thinking, isn't it? And I didn't read the whole verse. May it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world, for neither is circumcision, the rite or rote of religion, or uncircumcision, doing it on your own way, is there nothing, only a new creation. It's the new creation. It's being alive on the inside with the life of God. Well, this is pretty elementary. Listen, if it was that elementary, more people would be living remarkably transformed lives. Right? And so we have to get this because there isn't plan B. There isn't. It's not like, oh, he's got the hyper transformation coming, but it doesn't come until 2025. No. It's like there's no junior Holy Spirit. We get the Spirit of God, right? And so our relationship, our partnership has to grow and improve so it results in different levels of transformation. Somebody asked me a question just the other day about that, and I said, will we ever stop being transformed? Yes, but it's called heaven. Because you won't, we'll know as we are known, and right? To be absent from the body is present with the Lord. That's a totally different deal. But we're ambassadors, right? We looked at that last week. We're ambassadors. This is part of our equipping. This is part of our credentials. Pray in Isaiah 11 that we just don't make decisions by what our ears hear or our eyes see, but we're able to judge with fairness, right? Why? Because we have been equipped with a different capacity than we had before we came to the Lord. Wisdom. God's perspective, God's way of looking at stuff. So, I think we better move on. The next way I find in the Bible about being transformed is by beholding the presence of the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. And the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. But we all, with our face having been unveiled, having beheld the glory of the Lord in a mirror, are being changed into the same image from glory to glory as from the Lord the Spirit. As like you were looking in the mirror. And you have to behold yourself, right? It's what it is. This is what it is. Seeing the Lord with the eyes of your heart. Reading, hearing the word of God, recognizing he's worthy of it all. He reigns above it all. You know, he's the still small voice. He's the rippling fire. Right? And beholding him, sitting in his presence, singing, worshiping, reading, or just sitting in his presence. It's a little bit, it's marination, you know? And what you are giving yourself to and what is in you and who you are in changes you like the marinade changed the flavor of the meat. Tenderizes you. Causes you to bear the nature of what the presence you're in more than your own. Beholding him. Beholding is the forerunner of becoming. So we behold him to become more like him. And it's the unveiling of what's already real in us. Right? He's already there. I prayed that this morning for people who are ill. If the spirit that reigns in you, the one that raised Jesus from the dead is in you, he'll give life to you. See, that's it. It's beholding, it's becoming. Sit by the fire and you'll smell like the smoke. That's what I'm talking about. And how they cure meat, isn't it? Some ways. And so beholding him is this way. I better... They don't play till 5 o'clock today. Exodus 34. But they are still playing, he said. Then the Lord said to Moses, Exodus 34, 20, verse 27, write down these words, for in accordance with these words, I've made a covenant with you and with Israel. So this is the Ten Commandments. So he was there with the Lord for 40 days and 40 nights, and he didn't eat bread or drink water. But he also doesn't say he was hungry. It's amazing. And he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant of the Ten Commandments. And it came about when Moses was coming down from Mount Sinai with the tablets. As he was coming down from the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because of speaking with him. He had taken on some of the caricature, some of the nature of God, because his face was shining. God is light. So when Aaron and all the sons of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. It's like, does he have COVID? Is it, you know? I mean, it's like, what's this? They were seeing something that had changed how Moses looked. He was still having the presence of the Lord on him. And so Moses didn't know that his skin of his face had shone because of speaking with him. So when Aaron and all the sons of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were all afraid to come near him. Then Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the rulers in the congregation returned to him, and Moses said, afterward, all the sons of Israel came near, and he commanded them to do everything that the Lord had spoken to him. And when Moses finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever he went in to speak with the Lord, he took the veil off. So he was unfettered before the Lord. But it was spooking people. They didn't know what to do because this was something different. It was a new nature. It was a different dimension. It's the Spirit of God, right? Now, they had a cloud and a pillar of fire, right? Cloud by the day, you know, and pillar of fire by night. But they didn't get it. They didn't recognize, they didn't translate what was going on. And Moses didn't know anything had happened. He was unaware that his countenance had changed, because the one that counts, anyway, but his countenance had changed, and he now had an effect on people he didn't know he was having. I love it if that happens. See, why? Because he had beheld the Lord. He'd seen him. In this case, it says face to face, that Moses was the most humble man on the face of the earth. He knew God face to face. And Moses wrote that. I love that. The most humble man wrote that he was the most humble man. Dude, something's up here. And by the way, it's the word of God, authored by the Holy Spirit, so he really was. Or he couldn't have written that, because it wouldn't have been true, and the word's true. What I want to point out to you is that they did not have a grid for this. They had no way of understanding this, and they were afraid. Now listen to me real quick, because I don't have time to say as much as I'd like to say. The Lord does some things sometimes that spook us a little bit. I can't define that. I don't find that in the... They didn't have that in any of their biblical experience. Of course, they didn't have any Bible yet, but do you understand what I'm saying? This wasn't in their history. This wasn't in their experience. And so what they wanted to run from it. Same mistake Adam and Eve made. They weren't perfect, and they instantly knew it and wanted to run and hide. And the deal is, when you're not perfect and you know it, and the Lord shows up, run to him, not away from him. Amen. The answer is to behold him, because that's what it's one of the things it takes to become like him. Isn't that good? Now, this is a little harder. The verbiage is harder, but 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. He who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. But if the ministry of death in letters engraved on stones, the Ten Commandments, what we're talking about, came with glory, it did. His face was full of glory, and people couldn't bear to see him. So that the sons of Israel could not look intently at the face of Moses because of the glory of his face, fading as it was. Now listen, fading as it was. When he was in the presence, it's like you go in the tanning booth, you come out, whoa. But next week, you got to go back to the tanning booth, or it's whoa. Okay? And they saw him, and he put the veil on in part because it scared them, but he put the veil on also because it was fading and he couldn't maintain it. Hello? Now, I didn't even know he had it. So this is probably the right thing to do. But see, it wasn't something eternal living in him. It was something experiential resting upon him. And when he got out of the presence of the Lord and wasn't being shined on anymore, his reflection began to dim. It was temporary. We got a better deal. The eternal one never leaves. And that's why I can say, you're the light of the world. Why? Because he's the light of the world, and he's in us, and he's being the light of the world in us, so he can be the light of the world through us. We got a better deal than Moses. Come on. If that doesn't turn you on, let me say it again. We got a better deal than Moses. Now, he knew God the way God revealed himself to him, so it was no fault of his. The Lord, this was another covenant. This was another testament, and he was going to do something that would change this. But in the moment, he was dealing with his first covenant people and circumcision and all that kind of stuff, Ten Commandments. Are you with me? And the lasting presence of God was in the pillar of fire and the cloud. He was hovering over them, but he did not indwell them. This is a big deal. We go, so you saved, yeah, Spirit of God in you? Yeah. Really? No. Yeah. This is the hope of glory. What was on Moses was called glory. And it's Christ in us, the hope, the absolute certainty of glory, which in this case was observable. That's challenging, isn't it? For, back to 2 Corinthians 3, if the ministry of condemnation has glory, if the being the Lord being on somebody by his presence has glory, much more does the ministry of righteousness abound in glory. For indeed, what had glory in that case has no glory because of the glory that surpasses it. Because if that which fades away was with glory, much more that which remains is glory. Amen. The glory of the Lord is in us, and he enjoys marinating us to the point where it becomes observable. That can happen through love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, power, authority, healing, deliverance, integrity, all those different things. But when those things come out, they're coming out of here, his spirit joined with our spirit. And it dictates to people what we're like on the outside because it comes from what's on the inside. Some of you would love to be more like your mother or your father. I'm delighted I'm not. I mean, really. It still took me years to outgrow some of that stuff. And I'm not saying evil there. I'm saying people did the best they could. Some of their best just wasn't very good. Right? Holy imperfection, Batman. But the one who lives in me now is not like that. And so I got lots of reasons, but I don't have many excuses. I want him to be the fullest expression of his life through a human being. Nobody has maxed it out yet. Nobody has been as holy as you can be, as righteous as you can be. We're all that way in his eyes. I'm talking about in the expression of our life. So we will always have opportunity to expand and get bigger, better, broader, deeper. Right? But we should never stop. He said, I won't leave. And so I'm me and I'll be me as long as I'm in you and you're down here. And then we'll match up. Right? So what does that mean? Well, it means lots of things. It means that all the adventures in the kingdom, I mean, all the adventures of life are in the kingdom because of his kingdom. There isn't any end. Of the expression of his government, his lordship, and his peace, there isn't any end. So we can go a lot further with him than we presently have. That's not to downgrade or denigrate anybody. It's just to say, listen, when I say the best is yet to come, I'm not kidding you. I mean, I got Bible on this. This isn't the best I ever going to be. If it was, I'd just say, what? I've told the Lord a million times, let's be straight. The life I'm living at the level I'm living isn't everything you died for. Huh? I think we could all say that. I've said it more often than I like. But you know what? When I yield myself to him, I'm not the one in control. And he can do as much as he wants to. But I'm in a partnership and I have to be in agreement. He won't do stuff I won't do. Not the way he wants to do it and not in me. May do it Bill, not me, which will tick me off, by the way. Right? But I want him to do everything he wants to do in and through me. Don't you? How do we do that? Well, beholding him, surrendering ourselves to him, and being open to having encounters that he initiates. Well, I can initiate an encounter because I can open the book and read. I can worship. I can pray. That's starting an encounter, isn't it? But I got 20 minutes. I got 40 minutes. Whatever. If he encounters me, that's a different thing. Because that's his agenda for that day, not mine. Both are good. But the encounter can happen. I have had things happen to me. I walked into a prayer meeting one day, and long time ago, and I had been reading my Bible and praying for an hour every morning. That's 2 hours. Reading, praying. Every day. Wasn't very good at it. But my wife had told me, she says, you know what tells me that you love me and the kids? And I thought, oh no, something else. You know, what am I going to do now? She says, when you get up early and meet with the Lord, that tells me that you love us. I thought, I'm locked in. If I don't get up, now that I'm telling them I don't care about them. That's the first thought I had. I thought, what have I done? Never sleep in again. And one day I went to a prayer meeting, and I was going for it. I was devout. I wasn't very bright, but I was devout. And I went into a prayer meeting, and I got up and prayed. That's what you did at prayer meeting. And I walked out of there. I didn't know there was a spirit of prayer. I'd never heard that talked about. Didn't know there could be. And I walked out of that place with a spirit of prayer on me. Amen. And the next morning when I got up, holy moly. I always describe it like this. You know, it's like I'd been eating the cereal without the milk all that time. And the next morning, there was milk on the cereal. Man, did it go down better. Because it was alive. And I didn't know that was even possible. The group I was in, that didn't happen. But I understood what happened. The Lord told me, it's a spirit of prayer, idiot. You know, come on. But he showed me. And I said, oh my. And of course, I found it in the scriptures and you know, that kind of stuff. So what I'm saying was, that was an encounter. Now, I went to a prayer meeting. I didn't expect to have anything but to pray or be prayed for. And I walked out a carrier. Isn't that, does that mean you pray better than anybody else? No. It's that he made me alive in a way and caused me to see things in a way I previously had not. And all I'd done was make myself available. You know how many prayer meetings I'd been to? Come on. That didn't happen any other time, but it happened that one. So now what? You just say thank you. And there are people that pray a lot more than me and a lot, but the kind of prayer he wanted me to get into came by a touch from heaven. And I didn't know it until the next time I sat down to pray. And then it was like, oh, my antenna became cable. You know what I mean? I had channels I'd never been aware of before. It was wonderful. See, and that changed how I think about things. That's not the only change I've had to go through. And I'm using me as an example because it was observable. Instantly, I knew something had happened. So you can have an encounter with the Lord. You can begin to put yourself a place where you can behold him more, behold him in a different way. And that, yeah. And then you can do that sellout. Here I am, Lord. Why you would want this thing, I don't know, but I present me to you, spirit, soul, and body, do what you want to do. And the idea there, the verbiage there is a once and for all, do it. You know, like when you put the animal on to sacrifice on the altar, they kill it. Don't ever sacrifice that animal again because it's not there. It's that kind of thing. It's a one-time thing. But you know what? You have to read, his mercies are fresh every morning, and I need to say every day, okay, here you are. I need to know that I'm making a choice that I would choose him over anything else. And you hope it's reflected in the decisions that you make that day. Do I always do the right thing? Come on. If you want to think so, I'm happy, but no, that's not true. I always tell people that know my grandkids, I said, you know, they think I walk on water. For God's sake, don't tell them. But this reality of being in a partnership that's unto transformation means that we can't transform ourselves. And he won't do it without our permission and acceptance. Right? I'll come back to this other one. We may do this again, I don't know. But I'm going to read you this to close. I wrote this, first day of December 2019. And I've shared it once before, but I'll just read this paragraph to you and we'll close. This is just from my journal. The process of transformation has a history. It is comprised both of sudden and gradual encounters with revelation from my word and expressions of my character and nature. So this is the Lord speaking. As you come to know me through your word encounters, and you do all the things with my spirit, you will make shifts in your thought patterns and choices. Character will be formed, and outcomes will change. Revelation will become your most prized way of knowing and growing, and the most natural way for you to approach life issues. Transformation is both daily and dramatic. Your daily abiding in me is the highway of life, and it bridges those powerful revelatory encounters that happen strategically to propel your maturity and accomplish your destiny. The renewing of your mind is my way of empowering you to know my ways so you can experience the fullness of my purpose and my pleasure. Transformation is the process of deep and lasting integration and assimilation of the character of Jesus. Lord, I just love the fact that you have called us all to be co-workers, co-laborers with you. But you don't just do that so we can put on a happy face. We're in this partnership with you so that we can cooperate with you, so you can change us to be more and more and more like you. And so that the destinies you've called us to can be fulfilled and your name become a glory in the earth. It's unto the fullness of what you have called us to and what so many of us have waited over the years for. While we wait for you to do what we believe you've promised you're going to do on the earth, we can be actively engaged with you doing those things in us. Lord, would you cause us to have encounters with you, things that we haven't planned and aren't even totally aware of, but things that impact us significantly, like you did with Moses, like what happened with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, where no doubt Peter and James and John were significantly changed by seeing the expression of your life. Lord, we want to learn to just behold your presence. I think that can happen in a corporate setting, but I see that that's kind of between you and us, where we are allowing our time and energy to be focused completely on you and just behold the goodness and the greatness of God. Lord, quicken your word to us so that we have those word encounters where the Holy Spirit touches the word of God and it becomes real and light-giving, the entrance of your word bringing light, and we have experiences with the word of God, the living word of God, that help change the way we think and feel, that cause our capacity to value the same things you value, so that our choices are more like your choices. We long to see the people we love be touched by the life you've given us, not just the one we've carved out. Breathe on us, breath of God. Now look up just for a second. I know I've gone just a little bit late. I really think what we talked about earlier is true, that he would like to deposit a word on some of us that we walk out of here saying, I didn't know that. I didn't see it that way. I didn't understand that. Lord, how would you take this word and work it in me and change me? Matthew 13, 33. The woman took 3 measures of meal, of flour, and worked the yeast into it. And it, the yeast, took over. And all 3 measures of flour became impregnated with the yeast. One spirit-charged particle of the Word of God worked through, it's called kneading, worked through your 3 measures, your mind, your will, and your emotions. Cause your mind and your will and emotions to take on the life and the truth and the wisdom of that spirit-charged Word of God. You with me? This will help transform your life. It will cause your mind, and Paul says in Ephesians, and the spirit of your mind to become more like this living word that you've just been impregnated with. That's what I mean when a word would be hanging on you. He takes it, quickens it, makes it alive to you, and all of a sudden, I had no idea. And then, you know what? That light comes on, and now you see this word and that word so much differently because it's, you realize, oh, these are all connected. I would love for everybody to have, many of you have had this experience a number of times. I know this, but I also know impartation is a real thing. And I think he's here to give that away today, where a word would hang in your heart and become so much a part of you, it begin to identify. I know I'm being impassioned here, but I just know this is something from the Lord. I really believe it. So, Lord, we just want to give you permission. It's in the Bible. It's Matthew 13, 33. And I pray that you would watch over your word and perform it. That we would walk into, stumble into, if necessary, a quickened word from God. Maybe it's something that's been sung today. Maybe it's something that's been said today or prayed today or prophesied today. Maybe it's just waiting there between the pages to be found. And you would quicken that. And it literally would get into the way we think and the way we feel and the way we choose. And the only thing you could call that is mind renewal unto transformation. We want to see that happen. Come to us. We open the door. Cause us to have that connection with you that brings your life out into us and then out through us. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to stop it there, I think, today.